Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Wherever you're listening, across North America on the radio or around the world on the internet, however you're listening, whatever it takes to make that happen, we appreciate you being part of our day. And I think you're going to like hanging out with me this hour because we got, first up, we got Catherine Crowley, as I mentioned earlier. Catherine is a psychotherapist. How about that? Harvard-educated psychotherapist. And she and Kathy Elster have written a book called Working for You Isn't Working for Me, The Ultimate Guide to Managing Your Boss. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back. It's good to have you on the show. And I was telling the audience before you got here, Catherine, you know, between my children and my wife and my customers, you know, all trying to manage me, now you've written a book to teach my employees how to manage me. I feel like I'm you know, I'm the mole in the whack-a-mole, you know.
I think many bosses feel that way, Jim. And actually, it's interesting because I'm also a small business owner, and I will say that in fact our customers are really our bosses a lot of the time, right?
So, oh, absolutely. That's one of the myths, see, of and this ties in perfectly with your book. It's one of the myths.
Yeah.
That a lot of people tell themselves, isn't it? That if you know, when they work for somebody else, I want to start my own business, so I won't have to say yes, sir, no, ma'am, to anybody. Well, you trade one boss for many bosses, don't you?
It's absolutely true. The one thing about being a business owner is you get to pick your boss.
Right.
So you don't have to take everyone, and so that's the freedom there. But yes, absolutely. We work with small business owners for over 20 years, and one of the things we found was that each one has their own version of a fatal attraction. You know, the kind of client that just makes your life miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So managing those relationships can take a lot of effort.
What is one of the things that that it seems to me, as I looked at your book and as I thought about our conversation today, you know, this time in the marketplace, this year, 2009, has got to have put all the issues that you talk about in your book has got to put all those on steroids.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, actually, that's true because, well, let's start with the bosses. The bosses are under more strain and stress than they've ever been before, right?
Right.
They have fewer resources. They're
absolutely
having to defend their staff, their departments.
They're having to make decisions that maybe break their hearts.
Absolutely. Maybe having to reduce staff in one way or another. Yeah, so they're under duress, and that therefore they are probably resorting to their less than favorable behaviors. And then the employees are in the same boat where they're probably very fearful, very panic-stricken, and very overwhelmed. You know, most employees are doing twice the workload they were doing 2 years ago.
Everybody is, yeah.
Yes.
And all of us for probably not as much money as we were making, you know.
That's right, yeah.
Unless you're on Wall Street. There are a lot of people on Wall Street making a lot more money. But out here on Main Street, it's not like that out here on Main Street, is it?
No, it's not that like that on Main Street.
So we're all in this pressure cooker. We're all in this pressure cooker called 2009, and so should we give ourselves a break, Catherine? I mean, should we all say, okay, this is not a regular year. 2009 is not a regular year. Let's give each other a break. Let's just kind of back off and realize that nobody's behaving, probably a lot of behavior that we're seeing with each other, is not how either one of us want to behave.
I think that's a great attitude to take. And actually, one of the things we make a very specific distinction in our book, Working for You Isn't Working for Me, where we say this is not about personalities, it's about behaviors that people resort to, you know. So we have 20 behaviors. You could have a really nice boss, actually a very nice boss, who it has a tough time confronting, standing up for you. We would call that being a little spineless.
Yeah.
That behavior may be worse now, you know, under the stress that this person is under. But that doesn't mean that they as a human being are a horrible person, and you still want to work with them. You still want to figure out a way to support them and make things happen.
Unfortunately, and this is the really unfortunate part, the circumstances that we find ourselves in right now really, if someone has a character flaw, no courage, you know, lack of discipline, lack of trustworthiness, whatever, if they have a character flaw, those things are magnified in times like this, aren't they?
Yeah, they do. They talk about in stress we turn to fighting or fleeing. So
right.
A yeller is going to yell more than they ever have
right.
before. You know, and someone who avoids or is neglectful or absentee boss is going to check out more than they normally would.
So how do we handle that? How do we deal with all this? And let's take both sides. Let's take the employee side. How does the employee deal with a boss like that?
Well, I mean, we offer a four-step approach, which is we say detect, detach, depersonalize, and deal. And I'll just say detect is figuring out, you know, where are you in the relationship? What is the behavior that your boss is doing that's driving you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, let's say I'm working with someone who keeps changing their mind. We would call that a rule changer. You know, one day we're going to focus on sales, the next day we're going to reorganize the office. Detecting would be saying, okay, this is what this person does under stress. Now I need to manage their behavior. Detaching would be to accept you're not going to change the person, but to take back your power in one way or another. And usually detaching requires focusing on yourself, you know, exercising to get rid of the toxins,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, taking actions to augment your career or to break away from isolation and reestablish your connections in the business world. Depersonalize would be to not take that person's behavior personally. We tend to say, you know, if someone
right.
keeps changing the rules on us, you're doing it to me. And in fact, this person is just doing what they do, and you happen to be in the room.
Right.
And then dealing is figuring out how to literally manage that individual, that behavior in the moment and in behind the scenes. And in the moment with a rule changer, what you have to do is just write everything in pencil and
yeah.
understand that there's going to be a lot of flow going on. And in the longer run, you can try to help that person organize their thoughts by coming to meetings with an agenda and saying, this was your priority yesterday, where are you today?
I like that part about writing things down.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you write it down, you know, even in their presence, just say, okay, hey, boss, hold on a second. I want to write this down because I want to make sure that I follow what you're saying.
Exactly.
And then if they change the rules, then you got your documentation.
Right.
Because they saw you write it down in front of them.
Exactly.
Hold on to Catherine. We're going to take a quick break, folks. The book is called Working for You Isn't Working for Me. Catherine Crowley and Kathy Elster are the co-authors of this book. We come back. I want to ask Catherine about leadership. What if the employees stepped up a little bit and decided to take some leadership in what they would do? Demonstrate some leadership. And we'll talk about that right after this break. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out when you get a chance. Hope you'll use it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there that will help you. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Catherine Crowley is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She and Kathy Elster are the co-authors of Working for You is Killing Me. That's their first book. And the new book is called Working for You Isn't Working for Me. And that's what we're talking about. Catherine, how do we find your book and how do we hook up with you guys?
Well, you can find our book in many places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, 1-800-CEO. You can go to our website, which is workingforyouisn'tworkingforme.com, and you can go to the stores, and it's in the shelves right now. So those are several ways. And I'll just say our first book, Working With You is Killing Me, was sort of looked at all the different relationships, the people who bust your boundaries, your peers, the people you manage up, the people you manage down. This one focused just on dealing with authority. Because everywhere we went to talk about the first book, people would come up to us very quietly and say, you don't know what I'm dealing with.
Right.
And it always had to do with someone who had power over them in a specific way.
Right. Well, you know, and by the way, this is what you guys do. I mean, you help companies, your consultants, you and Kathy are consultants. You go and you guys
yes.
have been in business, as I see now, since 1989, which is when I started my company. So congratulations
yeah.
on your 20th anniversary. I think that means we're survivors, Catherine. Catherine, You know, you were talking about, I used the term leadership when we went, took a break. I have a friend who probably should read your book because he's a manager of some level, pretty good level, but he has a manager above him that's, you know, not working and playing well with others.
Yes.
And he's a lot younger than my friend is.
Yes.
And so my friend's been lamenting to me about this, and I've advised him a couple of things, and he's made some progress, but now they're at a point where they've got to get face to face. And he said, "What should I say?" And I said, "I think you should look at him and say, George, let's get together and talk about how you and I can have a good 2010 together." In other words, instead of saying, "Hey, I want to meet and you know, let's work this out," just say, "How do we have a good 2010 together? What do you think about that, Catherine?"
I think that's a great approach, Jim. And I'll just say, we actually talk about this phenomenon called the junior boss, because typically when you have so much experience, which your friend I'm sure does have, so much experience, so much wisdom,
mm-hmm.
having to do with the industry, it is very hard to work under someone who's half your age, who has almost no experience, but
right.
they probably have like technological savvy, or you know, they've got something that has.
I think nepotism is involved in part of it.
Well, that's a whole other issue. That's true.
Right.
So, and it's very hard to curb the feelings of resentment and not being valued, and you know, who's this guy think he is, and what's he doing, telling me what to do, and he has no information. So I agree with you. I think that whole thing of joining with. The trick can be with a junior boss that they need to flex their muscles and show you that they're in charge. And so in some ways, it's very important to at least nominally follow their lead in the early stages, and then you can kind of come in and try
well,
to
and
show
I'm, when I say
your
leadership,
strength.
When I say leadership, I'm not talking about, you know, subversion. I just,
no.
Of course, and you're not either, but I guess if your boss is getting smaller, I mean, you know, not physically, but as a leader, if they're being small, you be the opposite. Try to be the opposite. Rise above
right.
that. Don't you
well,
think?
Well, to your point, Jim, to find out what his goals are is always a very powerful thing to do. To find out what your boss's goals
right.
are and to join with them in making them happen is an immediate team-building approach. And as you say, it is a leadership position because
mm-hmm.
you're saying, okay, and you can document them. Go back to the earlier point. You can write down and say, okay, I see you want this, this, and this to happen. Let's really create some deadlines around this, and let's see how we can make it work.
In the book, you talk about something called boss baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what boss baggage is.
Boss baggage, which is one of our favorite things about this book, is the understanding that each of us approaches authority with our own baggage, and that is our own needs, our own expectations, and our fears having to do with authority. And what we offer in this book is a way for you to assess your boss baggage, just find out when you're going in to work for anybody, what is it that you're bringing to the relationship? And so I'll just give you an example. If I take the assessment and I find out that I'm a challenger, which means that I'm someone with very fresh ideas, I like to push the envelope, I like to try new things, I like to challenge the rules, and I'm working for someone that we would call, say, a control freak,
mm-hmm.
then I know that my greatest fear is going to be that you clamp me down, that you hold me back, that you don't listen to me. So what I can do in that relationship is with the control freak, listen very carefully to them, follow their instructions, but then find other avenues, maybe a task force, a conference, to showcase my talent
mm-hmm.
and really break out of the mold and have my ideas heard.
Now, on your website, don't you have a... Was it some kind of boss baggage analytical something? What is it?
A tool. We have a stress test that you can take on our
yeah.
website, but actually we're going to be posting our assessment in the new year. That's one of the things that we want to have for
okay.
our people.
All right. Give us the website again.
WorkingForYouIsn'tWorkingForMe.com.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a button there called Ask K2, and we also have a link called Ask K2 where anyone who has a question having to do with a boss, please feel free to click on there and tell us your question, and we will write you a response and possibly make a video blog about it.
And K2 means Catherine with a K and Kathy with a K.
That's right.
You guys must have met and said, hey, we got to be partners. Catherine, will you come back another day?
Anytime.
I've got a lot more questions for you. I hope you come back.
Thank you. I would love to.
Thanks. Happy holidays. The book is called Working for You Isn't Working for Me, wherever books are sold. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.